Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Should children unvaccinated be banned from attending school? The Minister for Health, Simon Harris, has said that he instinctively agrees with a suggestion that unvaccinated children should be barred from attending public schools and creches. Minister Harris was responding to a tweet by Dr. Dominic Rowley, who is a consultant at the Portlaoise Midlands Regional Hospital, who suggested that the Minister should take a bold step and ban healthy unvaccinated kids from creches and schools. Dr. Rowley said it is a really simple life-saving concept. We should be protecting those kids who cannot receive vaccines. And responding to Dr. Rowley on Sunday night, Minister Harris tweeted, instinctively agree. I think we may have a consultation or constitutional issues here. We'll research further. Vaccines, hashtag vaccines save lives. Leading doctors have raised concerns about a decline in vaccination rates amongst Irish children in recent years. This is the MMR vaccine, which has led to outbreaks of the disease like measles. While measles, mumps and rubella vaccination rates in Ireland are high, they have at times dipped in recent years below the 95% recommended for what is known as herd immunity. And for those who don't know what that means that the more people that are vaccinated, the less possibility the disease has of becoming epidemic again. In other words, taking hold. Because there are always going to be children who are not vaccinated. Because some children, because of underlying illnesses, can't be vaccinated. So the reason we have herd immunity is to stop those children in particular getting the measles, the mumps or rubella. And also, the vaccine in itself, although 99.999% effective, there are still going to be the odd person who got vaccinated who can actually get the measles. Now, the president of the National Association of General Practitioners has previously said that misinformation spread on social media is playing a huge role in driving down vaccination rates in some areas. Meanwhile, New York Mayor Bill de Blasio has declared a public health emergency in parts of Brooklyn, ordering all residents to be vaccinated to contain a measles outbreak concentrated in the ultra-Orthodox Jewish community. Now, just to let you know, by the way, the Jewish people, or the ultra-Orthodox Jewish community, don't get vaccinated. And that's why there's a problem. Since October, 285 cases of measles have been confirmed in New York City, according to the Center for Disease Control. In a statement, de Blasio said, I urge everybody, especially those in affected areas, to get the MMR vaccine to protect their children, families and communities. And under the new rules, anyone who is not receiving the measles, mumps, rubella or the MMR vaccine or does not have evidence of immunity risks a fine of $1,000. A statement from the mayor's office. Also, the country's biggest crowdfunding service says it will no longer allow anti-vaccinated campaigns. GoFundMe, used the 500,000 Irish people, says anti-vaccination information represents a public health risk. And speaking to the Irish Independent, the chief executive of GoFundMe said the decision has been made to prevent misinformation. So today I want to get your opinion on what Health Minister Simon Harris has said. So basically he said it's not beyond the realms of possibility. In other words, well, he didn't use those words. But he said, instinctively, I agree with the suggestion that unvaccinated children should be barred from attending public schools. Now, he said schools, but you couldn't constitutionally say that because if it's a private school, they can make their own rules. They can allow them in if they want to. But if it's a public school, we have a right because we are, the state has a right to turn around and say it's a public school, publicly funded. If your kid's not vaccinated, they're not coming in. Simple as. Unless you have some sort of certificate from a doctor to say that you can't get vaccinated for whatever medical reasons. I want to know if you agree with that. Do you think unvaccinated children should be banned from attending schools and creches, public schools and creches? Yes, you think that's a good idea? Or no, you think that's bananas and it's a bit nanny state-ish? Wait till your kid gets measles, then you know all about it. Finn, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Finn?
Very good, how are you?
Good. Finn, you don't agree with Simon Harris?
Nah, I don't. I think it's a bit, like you said, I think it's a bit extreme, isn't it? I do think that, like, people have hogged on at you and have hogged on at everybody else about the vaccinations going on in life and stuff like that. But, you know, if it's a choice of vaccinating your kid against the measles, it's a personal choice, isn't it? So if there were
it's not really a personal choice. Well, hold on.
It's a parent's choice.
Okay, but when you say it's a parent's choice, the parent has an obligation to do the best for its child.
Absolutely.
And not vaccinating your child is not doing the best for your child.
Oh yeah, I agree 100%. But I'm saying bringing them from schools is then also taking away an education, because when is it going to go on? You don't go into a creche and are you holding somebody over a bar saying, unless you get the child back?
Well, I mean, well, hold on. If you went away on holidays and had a dog and put a dog into a kennel for 2 weeks, or a doggy hotel, whatever you call them, right, for 2 weeks, your dog or your cat is not allowed in unless they're vaccinated.
Yeah, but it's huge difference between a dog and a cat and a young child.
Well, but the principle is the same thing. The reason they won't allow them in is because they don't want to spread the disease.
Well, no, I'm 100% behind you in the. I don't want the spread of a disease either. Nobody would like it. Like you said, let your child get
the disease. Well, then what's the issue? Where's the problem?
But I'm just saying banning them from school is a bit extreme. Like, why not fine the parents? Why not say, okay, unless they come in and with a certification and certain amount of time, get the HSE involved and advise them that this is probably the best way forward, rather than say, actually, you know what, no education. Because some people will say, well, you know what, put your fingers up the education and the child will go through life not getting vaccinated anyway.
Well, I think we have to take a bold step. And according to Dr. Dominic Rowley, it is a bold step. Take a bold step. And, you know, he says in his hashtag, ban unhealthy, unvaccinated kids. Hashtag, no, that's a long, okay, bloody hashtag, by the way, can I just say.
It's a huge hashtag. But, okay, you named it there. You said the predominantly Jewish population someplace in America.
And there's other religions too. I think Scientologists, I believe, and also maybe Mormons. I'm not too sure. A lot of the smaller religions don't use vaccinations.
Yeah, okay, but what's the percentage in Ireland of the people in schools that kids aren't vaccinated?
Firstly, Jewish Orthodox, I'm not too sure, but the Jewish community is very small in Ireland. Okay, so that's not a huge issue. But the biggest issue in Ireland is not the Jewish community, or not the Mormons, if that is the case, or not the Scientologists, if that's the case. The biggest problem we have in this country are people who have social media addiction. And those people...
And the Google Dr. Death, yeah.
Yeah, and the ones that believe, for some obscure reason, even though there's no evidence whatsoever, that the MMR vaccine causes autism, they're the ones that are the problem. And they're the ones who are not vaccinating their kids. So we're seeing dips where we should be up over 95%. It is dropping below the 95% every now and again. And 95%, by the way, is good, but we need to get over 95% for what they call herd immunity. So we've seen outbreaks in Limerick, we've seen outbreaks in Dublin, we've seen outbreaks in Cork, and we don't want to see something like what's happening in America at the moment, which is, you know, it's a serious outbreak, yes.
Yeah, but the thing about it is that, like I said, per population in Ireland, the percentages are fairly average and they're fairly high of people getting vaccinated. So coming in and banning the schools and banning kids from going to school is
a... What's the alternative?
If Simon Harris and the lights up in the Dáil area and say, right, okay, what are we going to do? Sit down and say, right, what's the best way forward for this? So if a child is going to a school and he's not vaccinated, we're thinking, say, okay, you've got 3 months to get the child vaccinated, or you're going to have to look for an alternative education. Not banning a child from school, because if at 4 or 5 a parent with your one child...
That would happen anyway, because you would automatically enrol your child in any school a year or so beforehand. And I imagine at enrolment stage, they would say to you, listen, can we see obviously a certificate of vaccinations? And you go, well, I didn't get my child vaccinated. And they go, oh, well, that's okay. Yeah, it's nothing next year anyway. So we would advise that you would do it in the next 6 months, otherwise we can't enroll them. So I don't see the issue.
That's not banning a child, though, is it?
Well, it is.
It's not really.
That's the only way they could do it. They couldn't kick the children out. Like, they can't grandfather this, I suppose. I don't believe they can.
Mm. Well, that's the way it was brought across to me when you rang, saying that. What happens if a child is in school at 7 years of age and has been attending the same school for the last...
Maybe we give 3 months' notice on that. Maybe, you know, you
absolutely
say... Okay.
Because what would happen is if a child goes into school at 4 and he's set in the school and at 7 it comes out in the wash, if this legislation comes in, because there are children in school now, in preschools now, who aren't vaccinated. So when they hit 7 and this law, if it does get passed, comes in, what are they going to do then?
I would agree with you. I wouldn't be too harsh about it. And I would say, let's put, say, a 6 month or three or six months and say, you know, okay, you've no certificate. So listen, you have 6 months to sort that out and everything will be grand.
And like you say, if it's doctor detected, they're Googling, somebody from the HSE goes in and actually says, with the statistics or something like somebody like, you know, a campaign that says with the statistics, it doesn't prove that any, and like you said, it hasn't been proven that it causes autism in later years, and ally the fear that, actually, you know what, if I vaccinate my child, something happens in the later life, because, you know, you before, you've had people on the phone who've got the flu vaccine and have got the worst dose of the flu. You know, these things happen. That's the way it is with everybody. Everybody's immune system is different. But I can't believe that if there's 300 kids in a primary school and you vaccinate 300 kids, what are the percentage of those kids who in later life develop autism? And you've just said zero because it hasn't
None.
Been proven. There you go. So why would
those
why
any
would,
children that have autism, and out of those 300 kids, there will be a percentage that will have autism anyway. They were born with it.
Yeah, exactly. So they've not been given it by not getting vaccinated. Mm. And if there's somebody in like
this whole argument, though, you know, the autism argument for parents out there listening, and we've talked about this before. I don't want to get into too much tonight. For parents listening with children with autism, it's hugely insulting. Hugely insulting to suggest even that a vaccine gives you autism, because you're essentially blaming their own parents for giving their children autism, which is completely untrue, because children are born with autism.
There you go, and I'm sure, like you said, that any open-minded parent would sit down and actually read the statistics coming from a figurehead that says, actually, you know what, this is rubbish, it's not. You don't get autism, but they'd say, okay,
no, you don't catch autism. You know what I mean? It's not something you catch.
Exactly. That's perfectly termed. You can't catch autism. Whereas you can catch measles.
Yeah, it's like saying, you know, getting an injection gives you heterosexuality or gives you two legs. Yeah, you're born with these things. We'll stay there for a second. I want to go to Anne. Well, hang on. Anne-Marie, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Anne-Marie?
How
you doing? Anne-Marie, do you agree or disagree with Simon Harris that, you know, well, okay, I agree with what Finn says, there should be a bit of time given to people who haven't vaccinated their kids already, but should we ban children unvaccinated from creches and schools?
No, you shouldn't.
Why?
Because I think the way that you look at it, a child could come in with measles, mum, shot, even, like, they're vaccinated, but what's happening to a child from coming in with a flu or anything like that? Like,
because they're not as dangerous. The measles is quite dangerous. It can cause blindness, brain damage, death.
But you can still get that even with the vaccination.
It would be extremely rare of you to get that with the vaccination.
But the way I look at it, like any child could carry it even with the vaccinations. And then with the vaccinations, there's a lot of possibilities where it can cause ADHD.
No, it can't. No, it doesn't.
No, that's what I heard.
That's what you heard, Anne-Marie, but that's incorrect. The vaccinations don't cause ADHD. I don't know where you heard that, Anne-Marie, but you can go back to Facebook or social media, whoever told you that, and tell them they're an idiot.
What's the problem? Why is everybody against the vaccination?
Because people like yourself, Anne-Marie, who went onto social media or a friend told them that it causes ADHD or autism.
No, my child is fully vaccinated.
I know, I'm just saying, people like you who go on radio stations and say that the vaccine causes autism.
Yeah, no.
When
I look at it,
I'm just telling you, Anne-Marie, you just said it on radio to people in Limerick, Galway, Cork and Dublin. You just said the vaccine causes ADHD.
That's what I heard, yeah.
Yeah, so people like you who heard that, that's the reason why some people are afraid to vaccinate their kids. They hear misinformation.
Yeah, but the way I look at it,
do you believe that, by the way?
Well, I don't and I do, because...
You don't and you do?
That, no, listen, I do and I don't, because... I knew that, but I still got my child vaccinated because I wouldn't want my child coming down with anything that can harm them.
Okay, but when you say you knew that, you knew what?
I knew like that it was safe to get my child vaccinated, but I heard all these old, like, shit things that it causes.
So we all heard it, like, when we were kids, you were brought down to the local health centre when we were in primary school, and
we just got brought in better injections. We heard nothing.
Well, I was a kid, there was no MMR. We're very lucky now to have the MMR vaccine.
We got it done in school.
Yeah, we got the BCG.
Oh yeah, I got that done in school. Yeah. I was only about 6 or 7, I'd say.
Yeah, how old are you, Anne? Sorry, if you don't mind me asking.
28 in May.
Oh, well, then the MMR was out when you were a kid. Yeah, okay. But when I was a kid, it wasn't. It was just the BCG.
Good.
Yeah. So,
but there was never anything about ADHD or anything like this when I was a child.
Well, oh, hold on for a second here. Hang on. No, I have to deal with this argument, Finn. I want you to just repeat what you just said.
I'm saying there was nothing like that when I was a child. There was nothing like because ADHD.
I can only hear one person at a time. Sorry, Finn, just for 2 seconds, because I have to just deal with this comment that's just come out of Anne-Marie's mouth. Sorry. Go ahead, Anne-Marie. Say it one more time, please.
I'm saying when I was a child, like, we got brought into school, like, you get a note home, you sign it, and you get your MMR. There was nothing about ADHD. There was nothing about this. There was nothing about that. You just get it done, you go home. If you felt sick, you get to go home after. If not, you get put back to class.
Are you suggesting there was no children with ADHD or autism when you were a kid? Sorry?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying you got the injection, whether you had it or not. There was no proof that it caused it.
And there still is no proof that it causes.
No, but there wasn't.
What's happening, Anne-Marie, is in your head, right, and I don't mean this as an insult to you, you've heard this from somebody, and although... There's no proof, no evidence whatsoever. And this is something that was just put out on social media and it's been put out by people who wear tinfoil hats. There's part of you in your head that kind of believes it.
It doesn't, it doesn't. Because, like I told you, I still got my child vaccinated.
Okay, and I'm delighted you did.
Yeah. But the way I look at it, like, you can't believe everything that you hear. Yeah?
You did.
Then,
You did. You
well, I didn't, I didn't.
Well, you did. The first thing you said when you come on the radio was that you heard that it caused autism.
It does, and other things, and all this carry on, but sure.
It does. You just said it does again.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You hear that it does.
But it does, but you're hearing from, who are you hearing that from?
The newspapers.
What newspaper? Everyone? What newspaper printed an article saying?
The Irish Daily Mail did.
The Daily Mail said that, no it didn't. The Daily Mail said that it caused autism.
The Daily Mail.
It said it caused autism.
No, I'm registered to that on Facebook.
Yeah, no, it didn't. The Daily Mail probably had a story of somebody who said
but it never said
autism.
That it causes autism. They're saying that their investigations into it.
Yeah, the investigations are...
The
investigations are all long over, Anne-Marie. It doesn't. All right? It doesn't. If we all actually started using a little bit of common sense when it comes to this vaccine, right, and autism, right? Do you believe, Anne-Marie, that children are born with autism?
No, I don't believe it, no.
You don't believe they're born with autism?
No.
So what, do they just catch it or something?
No, it's not that they catch it. It's like it develops.
It develops?
Well, I don't know. Like, it's like
I'm just curious.
The older the child gets, it's like you realise it. Because you don't know your child. Like, you don't know when your child comes out of your dad's form of autism, do you?
No, because you can only recognise autism when your child doesn't reach certain milestones. How would you know if a baby had autism? You wouldn't know.
You don't know.
But scientists know, because they understand it better than we do. And it's genetic. And they believe that children are born with autism. The baby's not going to pop out of you. And the doctor goes, oh, I'm so very sorry now, Mrs. That baby has autism. Of course they don't know, because the child doesn't reach the milestones. It's when your child gets to like 12 months and they're not talking, or they're not saying a word, or they're not crawling properly, or they don't hear properly, or they're not reacting properly to certain movements, eye movements. That's how they understand autism. That's how you understand a child has autism. You wouldn't know when the child is a baby. How would you know?
No, but
that doesn't mean the child wasn't born with it. The child is born. Like, if a child was born unable to walk, for example, we wouldn't know at birth. We'd only know when the child goes to walk and can't walk.
You don't know, no.
But the child was born like that.
My child was 4 weeks premature, yeah?
Yeah.
My child was only 3 pounds 11 born, yeah?
Yeah.
My child was 22 weeks or 22 months when she started walking. Like, I didn't know, like, what was on my heart.
Do you have a fine and healthy child now?
Oh, thank God, yeah.
Your child is never going to pick up autism from somebody in school. It's a genetic thing. It's part of it's the blood lines that go back years in family in generics. Not somebody sitting in school that has autism, because that's a terrible thing.
A child with autism, it just means that they're, you know, there's nothing wrong with a child having autism. It's just their brain operates in a different way to yours.
Yeah.
That's the way they've been born. You don't catch autism. You don't just suddenly get it when you're like 3 or 4, you're perfectly fine, and all of a sudden you just catch autism. That's not the way it works, Anne-Marie.
No, I know that.
Yeah, well, so how could a vaccine give you autism?
Because probably the way that they're looking at it, like, the child is what, 12 months when they get that injection, yeah?
Well, yeah, between 12 and 18 months, yeah.
Yeah. The way they're probably looking at it, because you wouldn't know in a child until they're after that age. Are you wanting? You wouldn't, no. Because that's the only time, like, your child starts doing things like...
Okay,
can I argue then? Let's say, for example, at 12 months old, your child starts to eat some decent solids and you give them a treat of a little bit of ice cream every now and again, or a bit of chocolate, right? As you would have done years ago. Remember the little small kiddie? Yeah. So would you turn around then and say the chocolate caused the autism? No, you wouldn't. So why would we suggest vaccines cause autism?
It's not that. It's just, like... You hear so many experts on about it, like, and even...
They're not experts, Anne-Marie. Idiots.
Well, I suppose. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I don't know what I'd be reading, like.
Okay. Well, stay there for a second. Getting back to the original topic, okay, should Anne-Marie, anyway, disagrees with Simon Harris. She believes it's a mother's or a father's choice, a parent's choice, essentially, to vaccinate their child. Sorry, Finn, for interrupting you there. Do you want to say something?
No, I was just going to say that you know, in the case of what's going on, it would be preventative rather than proactive and say, right, okay, let's get people in and say, right, this is what's happening. And you've already just killed one argument that it causes all these diseases. And like you've so brilliantly put, that you don't develop, you don't catch autism. You don't catch ADHD. These are things that aren't, you know, something that's contagious, whereas the chance of getting measles, so if the child even is injected at 12 to 18 months, if they have autism, had it before they got injected anyway. So it's just a case of developing, autism develops within the child, and they see in years to come, oh my God, my, it's been found out by a scientist, not a tinfoil wearing hat man, that that they have autism. So I think personally that the jab is a way forward, and to say that it's preventative rather than being proactive. That's all.
All right, let me just go to Joe. Joe, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Joe?
Hi, Niall. How are you doing? Are you having a good day?
I was. I don't know when I'm going to be having a good day after you come on, but you never know. I think I might. Joe, do you believe that Simon Harris is right?
I do. I would even go far. I think if people are too ignorant to do what's best for their children, government should interfere. They interfere for other things. Why not for this?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's common sense. We live in a world where now people think they read something on Facebook and they have more knowledge than the actual experts.
Yeah.
And it's beyond me. When it comes to autism, I'm livid. As you can imagine, I'm livid with that caller, which is profoundly ignorant.
Oh, Anne-Marie.
Yeah, completely ignorant of what is what ADHD is.
So you think, unfortunately, some people are ignorant when it comes to autism and ADHD?
They are ignorant, and they, instead of looking for, there's so many sources, credible sources, that explain what autism is, what ADHD is, what oppositional defiant disorder is, and all the other autism friends that they have. It's genetic. Every proof, every paper from experts, their link is genetic. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you for myself that in my case, I know it is genetic. It's a long line on my family from women. I only found out when I was tested in Temple Street in the metabolic clinic.
Yeah, Anne-Marie.
You can.
Yeah, go ahead, Anne-Marie.
Yeah, my nephew Kieran, none of us have ADHD, yeah?
Yeah.
My nephew Kieran has ADHD. He's a hyperactive child. He's a maniac. But so how is that inherited to him when none of us have it?
He doesn't have autism, does he?
No, he was only ADHD. He's hyperactive.
He's hyperactive. Well, he's
but
just,
how is that inherited?
Well, let me give you an example, Anne-Marie. When I was in school, I'm 55, there were kids in my class who were, at the time, that would have been referred to as being slow. And there were also kids in my class who were hyperactive, all right?
Yeah.
And, you know, and I was probably somewhere in the middle, right?
Yeah.
But we didn't have the MMR vaccine.
No.
So how do you explain that?
Well, I don't explain it. Like, mine, if you care on, is hyperactive sensory.
Yeah, but that's, you know, I'm sure that's difficult for his parents.
I know, but no, I understand.
But that doesn't mean that there's proof that it causes ADHD.
ADHD is a behavior disorder.
Yeah.
That it's caused because your nephew and my son, which needs meds to be able to function, has no control.
No,
of
I know.
Impulses,
my nephew
has no control. And the same way that some kids are slow and have low energy, some kids are born like this.
Hyper.
Where their energy but is
yeah,
hyper,
but it doesn't
where
mean that they inherit it.
Yeah, when you say they inherit it, right? Just because he has it doesn't mean that, you know, his mom or dad have to be like that as well.
No, I'm not saying that. But nobody in our family.
Mm-hmm.
We don't understand. Nobody in our family had that.
That doesn't necessarily mean that it's not inherited.
When none of us had it.
Listen, we didn't know that the planets were in the sky a long time ago. Now we know for a fact that they are there. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Evolution? We didn't know about evolution. Now we do. We never had a picture of a black hole. Now we do. There were lots of things that we didn't know that existed. There were things that were not diagnosed because we didn't know. Medicine came a long way. Experts came a long way. Science is constantly changing and upgrading. Hearing someone say that autism is gained from vaccines for me and my kids that does not understand is insulting in every level. It's a sign of complete ignorance of someone that do not take the time to do actual research.
I mean, okay, we're getting back to, you know, ADHD, which in some sense is separate to what Joe's son has and many people listening who have children with autism. ADHD, as you rightly pointed out, is a behavioural problem. And, you know, but again, that's the child's personality. The child has been born like that. It doesn't, this child didn't suddenly get to 3 or 4 and suddenly decide, I'm going to be hyperactive.
No, but it's only when they turn...
Yeah, but
I know. Do you only recognize that?
Absolutely. And the same goes for any children who have severe autism. They generally don't know these things or diagnose them until they're about 2. Although the parents may notice they don't reach certain milestones, but they don't diagnose them until they're about 2 years of age. It's the same with ADHD. Sometimes ADHD is not even diagnosed until they're 4 or 5. No, it depends on the child. But that still, Anne-Marie, doesn't give any credibility to the fact that you believe that they might not be born with it. They are born with it. It's a person. Mm. It's part of their personality, if you want to put it that way, and be less insulting to people. If a child is diagnosed with ADHD, I mean, years ago we didn't have ADHD. The man who actually came up with the label of ADHD before he died turned around and said there was no such thing as ADHD. What he was trying to say was he's not denying that children have problems and some children are a little bit hyper, but he said he shouldn't have given it a label. Because it's just part of the child's personality. Some children are very lethargic. Some children are hyperactive. Some children are somewhere in the middle. That's just children.
No, like there's a very high level. Like my son has a level of ADHD that surpasses like being a normal, happy, energetic child. It's a whole other level. It's a child like that cannot control himself, that cannot control his impulses. He wants to. He just can't. You should see my son at times telling himself, stop, Danny, stop. But he can't. He can't. Can you imagine the desperation of a parent, of a carer with a child like this where they have they don't know what to do, where they see their child suffering, but they can help. And then you hear people say, oh, years ago there was no ADHD. They surely have to catch it. How ignorant is that?
Okay, well, look, let's leave aside for the moment the ADHD and the autism and get back to the actual question I asked tonight. And obviously Anne-Marie disagrees with it. You agree with it, Joe, but let me just go to Anna as well if I can. Anna, in relation to Simon Harris's comments that it wouldn't be obviously beyond the realms of possibility, he instinctively agrees with the suggestion that unvaccinated children shouldn't be allowed into public schools. Would you agree with him?
100%.
Mm-hmm.
I 100% agree with that man when he states that a child that is unvaccinated should not be allowed around older children. I believe that. Mm. Well, can I just step on something there that the ladies were talking about before I came on air?
Yeah.
ADHD. I do not believe in it, to be honest. I don't think any child suffers with that. That's just a made-up diagnosis. And right back when I grew up...
Well, for the parents, can I just say, Anna, it's
for
not...
For the parents, I understand.
Yeah, I know. When you say, you're right. It is a made-up diagnosis. It was made up by the man who gave the label of ADHD. I'm trying to remember his name. Leon, I think. Professor Leon was his name. And he, before he passed away, he said he regretted that he used the label ADHD. He basically was frustrated by parents who were coming in who couldn't understand why their children were hyper, let's say. So he gave it a name, and it was attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. And he said himself it wasn't a disorder. What he said was it was part of a child's personality.
It was the way that they were nurtured.
Yeah, but for some parents that can be, and you know, and particularly in Joe's case where it's to the extreme, it can be a huge problem.
It can be a huge problem. I have witnessed that. Mm-hmm. I have witnessed children that are completely spoiled, overindulged by their parents, and they decide to medicate these children, put a label on them that they are ADHD, instead of disciplining them, trying to make these children understand. And I'm
saying, you don't
do not interrupt me when I'm speaking. Let me have my say. I think that
ignorant.
If they had a bit of discipline within the home and the children know their limits, there would be no such thing as ADHD. I have witnessed this. Do not say
ignorant.
You may call me ignorant. I am not ignorant.
You are ignorant.
With my own eyes.
Hang on a second, Anna, and just to calm everybody down a bit. Joe, you know, I'm not doubting you for a minute in relation to your child's behaviour and diagnosis, right? But I'm also listening to Anna with great interest. And there are children, I can tell you now, there are children who have been diagnosed using the term ADHD who are spoiled little brats. And who are just bold children. And the evidence out there suggests that ADHD is one of the most overdiagnosed labels put on children. In other words, there are children out there who are badly behaved, who are being given the label ADHD just to pacify parents.
Those parents...
Let Joe just respond to that, Anna.
Okay,
Those parents should be prosecuted. Because it's horrendous. I am a strict parent. It's not because my son has autism that my son doesn't have rules.
I can only hear one person at a time, okay? So I let Joe finish what she wants to say, Anna. I let you respond, and I know Anne-Marie wants to say something too. So just let Joe finish what she wants to say, and I let you respond to her.
Okay, carry on.
My son has strict rules, and kids with autism need extreme routine because they only feel safe with routine. They need to know, at least most of them, exactly what happened. My son couldn't sleep. My son couldn't sleep, couldn't eat, couldn't sit still. My son couldn't control his impulses. It was horrendous to watch and want to help him and couldn't. And you know what happened? He was horrible at school. It was a night. My life was a nightmare. A nightmare. And not because it didn't have, like you put it, discipline.
See, there is an argument, Joe, and there was research done in Exeter University. I think we covered it last year, and we got so many complaints when we actually covered it and had the girl on who carried out the research on over 7,000 children with ADHD. And what they found was that it was directly linked to environment and to environmental issues. For example, I'm just telling you the statistics. You can believe them or you don't have to believe them. ADHD, for example, you are more likely to have ADHD if you are in a single parent family. You're more likely to be diagnosed with ADHD if your parent or parents didn't go to third level education. You're more likely to have ADHD if you live in a working class area. And those, they were all factors that were very common in children with ADHD. Now, that doesn't mean all children with ADHD, by the way, but that's what they found in Exeter University. Now, I can't remember the actual figures because I don't have it to hand here, but the figures clearly pointed out that ADHD, or the over-diagnosis nowadays of ADHD, was directly linked to the environment.
That woman only got one child.
Oh, who?
That woman there that's talking.
Yes, she's one child. So, Anne-Marie, you wanted to say something to Anna anyway. Go on, Anne-Marie.
No, I wanted to say something to that woman.
Joe.
Yeah, she's on about her child being ADHD, yeah? How old is the child?
What's it up to you? Well, how old is my child?
No, I just want to know, like, how old is the child, like?
It's none of your business how old is my child.
Well, sure, like, a child can't get diagnosed with ADHD until he's 5 years of age, because I've already been to the doctors with my child. Can I tell you something, please, woman? Will you listen to me? Please, listen to me. My child is spoiled rotten. For a long time, I thought my child had ADHD because she was an only child, yeah? Because she was carrying on, she was acting up. Fair enough, yeah, it's an excuse, yeah? But your child, because my child is, like I told you, Niall, my child was premature, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
My child was on the pediatric doctors, everything. My child goes to speech therapy. I thought my child had ADHD. Everything, God help us. Like, was what my child, yeah? But your child can't be diagnosed with ADHD until it starts primary school, until it's 5 years of age. That's
well, I think there are children that have been diagnosed under that age, by the way. I know you're saying that, Anne-Marie. Sorry, Anna wants to finish what she wants to say anyway. Sorry, Anna. Are you there still, Anna? Oh, have I lost Anna? Oh, there you are, Anna. Sorry, go ahead. Anna, are you there?
It's not the best connection. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. You wanted to finish what you say. We're focusing very much here on ADHD and autism. We were meant to be talking about Simon Harris, and that's what I wanted to get back to about vaccinations,
yeah,
right?
Well, can I just direct one final comment towards those ladies?
Yes.
That lady, Jo, I never specifically said that every single individual, like every single case has been misdiagnosed, every single child has been misdiagnosed as ADHD. I said the majority of cases is children that are overspoiled, overindulged by their parents, and it's the parents looking for an excuse as to why their children are misbehaving, so they are labeled as ADHD. They are medicated, so some cases they are.
With Ritalin, they usually get them Ritalin.
Ritalin, yes. And the children are put into like a stand, their personality is taken away from them. I think...
Listen...
No, hang on, Joe. Hang on, let her finish.
Talk, Joe. Thank you. I let you speak. I think that if there was a bit of discipline within the home, that the majority of cases, I never specifically said your child, and I do sympathize with your situation, I said the majority of cases is a lack of discipline within the home. If the parents overindulge in the children and the children get in the way with murder, so to speak, that they think they can do whatever they want, and it is 100% more common within a single child's home. When there is no other sibling, there is no other offspring, only that one child. That child is doted on, the parents think the world of that child, they let that child get away with absolutely everything. And then when it comes to the child beginning school, please let me speak, when it comes to the child beginning in school and interacting with other students, and they should be acting appropriate of their age group in the environment for the education, they are misbehaving for the simple fact that they were allowed to do whatever they wanted at home and they lacked structure. And then they bring their child to the doctor. I can't control my child. My child is misbehaving. My child won't listen to me. Oh, well, your child is ADHD. Your child can't control it. A bit of time out would suit that child no harm. It would give that child no harm. And that's what most of the cases are. There's no fear within the home. There's no discipline. Well, I can't do this because my father will give out to me. I can't do this because my mother will give out to me. Most of the children think I can do what I want because my mum and daddy will pet me.
Okay, well, listen, before I move back to the Simon Harris question, the vaccinations, because I wanted to be obviously sure about what I was talking about in relation to that particular Exeter University research that was done. They researched a database of 19,500 children, which is a very big sample size. And the findings showed that more children with ADHD came from families below the poverty line than in the UK population as a whole. With the average family incomes for households whose study child was affected by ADHD at £324. In other words, the less money that was coming into the household, the more likely the child was going to have ADHD, compared to 391 for those who had no children who didn't. The study also found the odds of parents in social housing having a child with ADHD was roughly three times greater than those who owned their own homes. Now, you can put your own spin on this whatever way you want, and also that children who came from single-parent families were more likely to have ADHD. Information was gathered from surveys when the cohort children were 9 months old and at the ages of 3, 5, 7 and 11. All right, so that was an actual study of 19,500 children with ADHD. Now, let's move away from ADHD, get back to this vaccinations. So the idea, Anna, that, you know, essentially forced vaccinations, because if you don't get them, you don't get your kid into school. Is that a good idea?
Can I say something?
But now, can I ask you a question?
I don't want to talk about ADHD anymore. If we could just avoid it. So, sorry, Anna.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Why should a child that has not been vaccinated, has not had the proper vaccination, be allowed amongst the general public when they could be carrying whatever and pass it on to the child? Now, this bullshit, if you excuse my language, that the vaccinations cause autism and other whatever diseases. I got the vaccination. Every member of my family, extended family, which there is over 200 of us, in the extended family coming from the one grandparents have all been vaccinated. There's been no problem, nor has any of our children. So all of this, it's all modern age bullshit where it's like this genderless fucking thing that people are having children.
You have a lot of things on your mind tonight, Anna, can I just say?
No, just, people like that irritate me. It's just, it's all like, oh, it's, they read this fake news story, Irish Daily Mail, which was mentioned a while ago, which they believe in everything they read. Where is it now that a child, when you get vaccination, oh, that child automatically is going to get autism, whereas that child could be carrying measles and go into preschool and pass it on to a child, and that child could be fatally, and like fatally sick.
Absolutely, the child's life could be in danger. But stay there, Anna. I want to go to Seamus as well. Seamus, you're on Classic Hits. Sorry, Seamus. Seamus, do you think is Simon Harris right now? He does say there might be a constitutional issue with it, but
I think there will be. Actually, I agree with this. I agree insofar as the objective he's trying to achieve here. But my point is, basically, I don't think he's the man that should be trying to deliver this at all. It's just another stunt by Mr. Harris.
In fairness, he was responding to Dr. Dominic Rowley, who's a consultant at Portlaoise Miserable Street Hospital, when he was asked about measles, mumps and rubella. So Simon Harris was only responding to him.
He's responding, but he's European puppet. He's doing anybody that he's doing anything basically that anybody tells him to do. Look what he did with the smear tests.
Well, I know, it's a mess.
He reacted, and now we're dealing with a problem that's far greater, which is effectively killing women. And the same man has gone to turn around and just tell everybody that, like, it's almost like a form of ethnic cleansing when you break it down. If you don't, immunise your child, we're going to fine you, and you won't get.
Well, that's what they're doing in America now.
Well, unfortunately, this country has gone down the road of a TTIP agreement that some people, like some previous idiots you had on earlier on, including Anne-Marie, won't mention any more names. But there's a TTIP agreement, isn't there, going ahead between the USA and Europe, and Ireland being a part of Europe is. I mean, there's been protests about this.
And by the way, I completely agree, Seamus, that I don't believe we should be forced to do anything, right?
No.
Okay, within reason. But I do believe when it endangered other people's lives. For example, let me finish. We're forced not to drink and drive. We're forced to drive a car at a certain speed. We're forced not to take drugs. We're forced. These are all laws that were brought in to protect citizens and protect other citizens. So for this example, the speeding and the drink driving is not about your protection. It's protecting other people, right? So again, this is about protecting other people. Not your child in particular, but allowing your child to be in contact with other children who may not have been able to get vaccinated because of their health problems.
Okay, well then, rather like the smear test, okay? This guy, I'll mention two things, okay? That hospital development that went from 500 million
to 2 billion.
Up to 2 billion of taxpayers' money. Number two, the smear test campaign, despite the fact that it has only recently been proven that he was given advice not to go ahead with it to that extent because he would not be able to handle the backlog, which will have a knock-on effect and do the same damage, if not more, than it did originally. And here we are, number three, let's force people to make...
But this is not quite the same thing because the vaccine program is already...
The
vaccine program is already there, and it's up to kind of 94% or so. So it's already there.
Okay, no, but if you look in the one in 10,000 or the one in 1,000, okay, I know these are crazy numbers. But say the one case that has a problem and something goes wrong, who's liable? You know, is he going to say that the state is not liable? He's going to wash his hands of it all. This stinks of the smear test campaign, and the mere fact that Simon Harris is trying to enforce this as the health minister, it doesn't carry any weight whatsoever. It's people need to wake up as to who is making the call on these things at the moment. This is the type of guy, by the way, that he would say, Europe would turn around and say, put your hand in the fire, or the USA would tell him, I'll make sure the Irish people do the same. That's the problem.
You have two issues with it. Firstly, you don't believe the government are competent enough to roll it out in the first place.
Not.
And secondly,
definitely
you also believe it's a bit nanny state-ish.
Yes.
Let me ask Anna. Anna, because it is common sense, of course, to get your child vaccinated, right?
Yeah.
But according to Seamus, and he agrees, by the way, that it's common sense, but he's saying, A, he doesn't trust the government to implement it properly, and B, that he believes that when you can't force people to do things, we're now getting into kind of nanny state or ethnic cleansing of somewhat.
Don't force them. If they don't want to vaccinate their children, just give them the option. Well, your child is not vaccinated, they can't be allowed access to this school.
in case they bring a risk to other children.
So you can send them to a private school if you want to. Well, I mean, that's, I suppose that's what Alan's saying. That's the minister saying. You can go, I mean, you just won't get into a public school. You can't ban private schools from taking them.
Why put every other child at risk because of a choice you made as the parent made? If you decide not to vaccinate your child, why endanger the lives of the other children that are in that public system at that public school? Why do that? If you decide not to vaccinate your child, decide to save up and send them to a private school because it wouldn't be in my child's class.
Yeah, well, okay, you can respond to that. Yeah, Seamus.
Niall, like, I don't know if people realise or not, but this guy, Simon Harris, he's not confident enough, first of all.
No, I'm not. Well, hang on. Well, let's leave the name out, because I completely agree with you, Seamus. He's probably the most incompetent Minister of Health we've ever had, but he's there until the next election probably anyway, right?
So, but he's opening up the constitutional gates to all sorts of avenues. It's too dangerous a move to force people to do it. I mean, would he force a Jehovah's Witness to take a blood transfusion in a hospital?
Well, hold on a second. I agree with that. If there's a, and that was a child, by the way, they got a court order. That's quite a regular occurrence, by the way.
He's listening to somebody else.
But hang on a second. It's quite a regular occurrence when a Jehovah's Witness child, there's a case taken to the High Court on a regular basis. We just don't hear about it, where they're forced, where doctors will take a case to force them to have a blood transfusion. That's quite common. And I completely agree with it. Any parent who denies their child life-saving blood transfusion, there's something wrong with them.
It's crazy. I know it's crazy.
Yeah, but so the state has to respond, because you and I and everybody else democratically voted 3.5 years ago in a referendum to protect the children of this country.
Right. Assuming, okay, right. Now, in most cases, when it comes to health and well-being, people can make choices, okay, in this country. But we're now, according to Simon Harris, going down the route of, no, you don't have a choice. You're the fourth corner, or you do it.
Well, you actually don't, because the state leaves you with a responsibility to be the guardian of your child,
they
right?
Do and stuff.
Okay, but in saying that, we did vote in a referendum, and it was made quite clear during that referendum, the information, that if you neglect that duty, the state does have now the right to step in and do something about it.
Okay.
And that's we voted for that.
We did.
Yeah. So the state equally has a responsibility now, according to that referendum, to raise your child or to protect your child, certainly to become 18.
However, my point, just to add to what I said earlier on, is if something goes wrong, okay, who's liable? I don't see Simon Harris and his government accepting liability for anything that does go wrong. Look at the cases that come before the courts when anything goes wrong in terms of medical negligence and so on. But, I mean, if there is repercussions as a result of these injections or immunizations, and more than likely there won't be. However, he's taking away the choice, which is a very, very dangerous road to go down. I mean, we've heard all sorts of talk as well about recently about the idea of preventing the public's right to protest outside certain places like a doctor's surgery or a hospital, just because we live in a touchy feely lefty world now. Mm-hmm. Like you were talking about the left-right earlier on today, you know?
I know.
This is another classic example, do you know what I mean?
I don't know because I'm in a bit of a dinosaur, and I mentioned today as well that I'm kind of conservative in my views, but I don't see this as being such a bad idea. Maybe just because I believe vaccinations are great.
Vaccinations are great. They're a great idea. But
they've saved millions of lives around the world. Billions.
Absolutely, and I totally agree with it. But I don't think you can really trust the word of Simon Harris, given what he's done so far.
Okay, but do me a favour. Stay there for a second, because I want to go to Dave after the break, because he agrees with Simon Harris. And also I'm going to talk to Jackie as well, who believes every child should be vaccinated because her child has a Down syndrome. Now, this isn't the first time I've texted this show and haven't got a respectful response. Excuse me, we don't respond to everybody who texts the show. Actually, we don't respond to anybody who texts the show. We just sometimes read them out. Do you want a little personal response? I'll get Aisling to send you a personal response a bit later on, just saying thank you very much indeed for your text. And Niall is trying to say autism is just an accident. Niall never said autism is an accident. Niall said children are born with autism. But if you want to think that's what I said because you've selective listening, that's grand. And that some kids get it and some don't. I never said kids get it. I said some kids are born with it and some are not. Can I ask the most simple question possible? Can Niall answer what he thinks autism is? Autism is quite simple to explain. It's a child who thinks differently to the way you do, and the brain operates in a different way. Doesn't mean there's something wrong with them. It just means their brain operates differently to yours. No such thing as normal. Plain and simple answer, I'd like. Well, I've just given you a plain and simple answer. And then she goes on to say, this is the best bit. I can give you thousands of well documents well documents. What's a well document, by the way? Proving they cause it. I'm assuming you mean vaccines. And then she sends me a link to a load of movies. Most of them, by the way, by conspiracy theorists. Bizarre, isn't it? Please, don't just look at this as a tinfoil hat fake news. This is real evidence from medical doctors. No, it's not. They're all movies that were made by people who have an agenda. I know every single one, well, almost every single one of them, because people have sent me links to them before. So I have responded to you. There you go. Send me a doctor's report. You can post it up here if you want on WhatsApp, or you can email it to us at niall.boylan@classickids.ie, an actual Irish doctor's report or a paper published by a doctor proving that vaccines cause autism. And I would believe you. But you won't be able to, because there is no such thing. There's a lot of low stuff out there by people who claim to be doctors and people who claim they know everything, and these little YouTube documentaries about people who claim they know everything. I'm sorry that we don't respond to individual texts. And by the way, try opening your ears and listening to what I actually say before you send in a message in future, all right? Now, let me get back to a respectful conversation. Seamus, stay there for a second. Let me get back to what Simon Harris said. Dave, you're on Classic Hits. Dave.
What's the crack?
What's the crack, Dave?
Oh, we know.
Dave, I mean, do you agree with Simon Harris? I mean, what he said, I want to quote him properly. I don't want to misquote the man. He said instinctively he agrees with Dr. Dominic Rowley about vaccinations and banning children from schools, with a suggestion that unvaccinated children should be banned from attending schools or creches.
Yeah, I can't really see why you wouldn't agree with that.
Well, Seamus, I take on board what Seamus said. Although he agrees with the sentiment and thinks, you know, he doesn't believe there's anything wrong with vaccines and they've saved children's lives, etc., etc., he just believes you're heading down a kind of rocky road when you're forcing people to do something.
We wouldn't need to head down this rocky road if so many people nowadays weren't such fucking idiots about this. Like, vaccines are up there with antibiotics. They're one of the greatest medical breakthroughs in the history of human civilization. And people are saying, well, I'm not vaccinating my child because there's mercury in it. And I heard Jim Carrey and Melissa McCarthy were saying that it causes this and it causes that. You know, like, instead of, like, I genuinely boggles my mind where people will take information from celebrities before medical doctors who spend nearly the entirety of their, like, their adult lives and their professional careers studying these things, coming up with treatments for illnesses, coming up with vaccines. I mean, when was the last time someone died of smallpox? Do you know, when do you hear of people
smallpox
getting polio anymore? Smallpox is being completely eradicated. It exists in two places in the world. And there's been a debate going on for the last, maybe, I think it's roughly around 10 years, about whether or not to destroy the samples of smallpox.
I don't think we've had a case of polio in this country in many years.
Yeah, but that's it. But these people say, like, well, show me the evidence that vaccines work. They declared a state of emergency in New York because measles has made a comeback in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what would happen? Like, no, this is just way out there, a hypothetical idea, but it happened before, so it could happen again, right? If we had something like the Spanish flu that made a resurgence, right?
Mm-hmm.
Back in the time of the Spanish flu, they didn't even understand what viruses were, right? But that swept across the world and killed between 55 and 100 million people. If something like that made a comeback, it would take about a year to actually come up with a vaccine for it. But if we came up with a vaccine for it and we still had people who refused to vaccinate their children, we would never get rid of it. And something like that, if that came back now, it would be even more devastating because the world is so much more interconnected than it was back in 1916.
Do you think it's the state then has a responsibility for when it comes to public health to enforce, you know, I suppose, rigid guidelines when it comes to this?
Look, the way I see it is, parents may have the right to vaccinate their children, yes or no. Maybe they probably do. They're personally, in my eyes, they're gobshites if they don't, but that's their own thing,
yeah.
But the state has a responsibility to every single citizen of this country to make sure that we can live our lives as happy and well and as free as we can.
Okay, let Seamus respond to you, because I know he wants to say
something. Yeah, I'd like to respond there. It's great that he thinks so positively about the current government looking after his needs. But to be honest with you, my concern is not with the idiocracy that we're currently living in. It's to do with people's choices
And it's the way in which they're administered by the government as a knee-jerk reaction, which has been already proven currently with the smear test campaign. Okay. Now, what I'm trying to say to you is that if they adopted a route whereby they give an incentive more so than a deterrent to people...
Well, okay, Australia did that. They cut children's allowance for people who didn't vaccinate their children.
That's a deterrent. But one way of doing it, or one way of incentivising the whole thing, would be to increase or reduce, say, for example, now we know that there's free healthcare up to a certain age, but to reduce the payments, just I'm throwing into the air really, reducing the payments or your hospital fees or something like that to a certain level for that child beyond a certain age if they do get the vaccination. But the way they do it, it's like we basically, it's a blunt instrument. It's basically, well, here's the stick. If you don't do this, we'll hit you with it. It's not good enough, you know, and just because like it's the expert opinion of some consultant or whatever. We've so many of them around the world. That's only one opinion from one person, from one state. You know, or this government just sounds to me like it's a case of, well, if America tell us to do this, we'll do that. If Europe tell us to put our hand in the fur, we'll do it. It's not a case of we'll do it. Your government, as in this government that we have, the idiocracy, are telling you that you'll have to do it. And that's the wrong way to go about it. I'm all for vaccines, by the way, and all the rest, and you know, I agree with the medical advances that have taken place so far. People will be crazy enough to do it. However, there's always that cohort of people, whether it be for religious reasons or whatever, that may not want to do it, and they should have that choice.
By the way, somebody did text in and say, if vaccines are so great, why are those who get their kids vaccines worried about the rest of us? I'm assuming by the rest of us, that person means they didn't vaccinate their children. And somebody rightly sent in a picture that I've seen before on the internet about that very question, which is a stupid question. And the answer is quite simple, as it says here. Some kids are too young to be vaccinated. Some friends are too sick to be vaccinated. My neighbour has breast cancer and is vulnerable. Your grandmother is elderly and frail. And my sister is pregnant. And because seeing kids with unnecessary diseases is awful. Even in your kids, they didn't choose to be left unprotected. In other words, there are people out there, for whatever reason, can't be vaccinated. And we have a duty to protect those who are more vulnerable. So that was the reason, in case somebody wanted to know what the reason was. So let me just go to... Stay there, Dave. Let me go to Jackie. Jackie, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Jackie?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. Jackie, in relation to vaccinations, Simon Harris writes, Seamus believes, although vaccinations are a good thing, he thinks it's wrong to force people to do it.
Well, no, I don't like Simon Harris either, really, and I suppose it isn't great to be forcing people, but every child should have the vaccination, because for children, like my child has Down syndrome and she also has juvenile arthritis, and if she did pick up anything like measles or rubella or any of those things, they end up in hospitals because they get so...
Okay, so pardon my ignorance, Jackie, but with a child with Down syndrome, can you not get them vaccinated?
You do get them vaccinated.
Okay.
She is vaccinated against... But it's not the Down syndrome, it's the juvenile arthritis, really, because for the juvenile arthritis, she's on a biological drug.
Oh, okay.
Which keeps her very safe. But if she caught measles or rubella, she would get really, really ill and she would end up in hospital. So she is vaccinated, but it's the people walking around that aren't vaccinated that I think is very unfair on my child, because... Because she could get, as I said, I suppose she could get very sick. And I know Simon Harris, you know what, this government, he is very authoritative, and, you know, he likes to tell us what to do. But, you know, sometimes he does hit the nail on the head. And with this one, I think he is right, really, to be honest with you.
I'm quite interested in the whole idea of, you know, why people think it's not dangerous to have unvaccinated kids, because as you rightly pointed out, your child is quite vulnerable, probably hasn't got, you know, the same immune system that other children might have. And, you know, on those grounds, we have a duty to protect your child as well as everybody else's.
Exactly, yeah. Children with Down syndrome have a low immune system.
Yeah.
And then children with juvenile arthritis have, because she has both, she has a really very, very, very low system, immune system, which is why it's unfair on them.
Okay, but so do you, I know you don't like Simon Harris, a lot of people don't, but do you, let's forget his name was Simon Harris for a second. Let's just say tomorrow he resigned and there was a new Minister for Health in there. Would you agree with the notion or the idea of banning children from public schools and creches who weren't vaccinated?
I would for a while, because I think, because as I said, I think it's very unfair to other children. Mm-hmm. And then I think it would make people think about it, and it would make people, hopefully, it would make people get the vaccinations.
Yeah, sorry.
I would.
Yeah, sorry, Shane, you want to say something there?
No, just I agree with her there, you know, I agree with those points. But I think my point, you know, I'll reiterate the whole thing. Like, I think the government are going about it the wrong way. I think the incentivizes is more encouraging of the general public to say, well, do you know what? If we get so-and-so or Johnny or Mary, whatever, vaccinated, we'll be entitled to free healthcare to a certain age or whatever. But this thing of using the stick, it's just, there's something kind of like, it's like history repeating itself. Every time you see the government coming across with coming before the people with a proposal, it's as though they have the iron stick, this stick in their hands, which is saying, Europe said it. America said it, therefore I'm telling you to go do it.
Okay, well, stay there, Dave, please, and stay there, Seamus. That's a WhatsApper, by the way, has responded back, because I did ask Aisling to respond for and thank her for her text, to give her a personal response, because she kind of wanted a personal response. She felt better. But she wanted to add a little bit more to the nonsense that she put up earlier on. And that was, she says that, no, autism is brain damage. Well, I can tell you what. If you want to tell somebody with a child with autism that their child has brain damage, I would stand at least 10 foot away from them before you say that to them, all right? Because it's the most insensitive, incorrect, misinformed sentence I have ever read out on the air. All right? A child with autism, I'll explain it to you once more. A child with autism doesn't have brain damage. Their brain is just differently wired to yours. And they behave in different ways to them, which is quite normal, just like your behaviour to you is quite normal. Just because their behaviour doesn't fit in what you believe behaviour should be, doesn't mean they have brain damage. That's a disgusting remark. It just shows how little you know about actual autism. But anyway, and she goes on, thank you, Aisling, for your very manly, unlike your colleague, Niall. Well, at least Aisling and Niall don't put misinformation up onto WhatsApp. And at least Aisling is listening to the show, unlike you, who have put up remarks in your first message that you put up, suggesting that I was saying all sorts of things that I didn't actually say at all. So open your little ears now and have a listen to the show and listen to it in context and listen to what I'm actually saying and not what you think you hear I'm saying. All right, now, let me go. Say there, Seamus and David. Let me go to Sam. Sam, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Sam?
Hello.
Hi, Sam. How are you? Sam, you disagree with Simon Harris.
I dislike the man immensely.
Why is everybody starting their conversation with that tonight?
Doesn't think about what he's doing. Now, I just want to start by saying I'm pro-safe vaccination. I'm not like a crazy anti-vaxxer, but I'm ringing because there are parents out there who lose a child from vaccination damage and are then warned that any future children are at heavy risk. And I think that the issue when you're talking about anti-vaxxers, and it's kind of like they're these crazy lunatics that are conspiracy theorists.
Most of them are.
Well, I would disagree with you there.
Well, okay.
I think there's a lot of us out there who, you know, we're the silent ones that, you know, dare, you know, if we mention anything, even question the safety of vaccinations, you know, it's shot down. And I think when you get to the point where you can't question government and just say, look, these are our kids, the most precious thing to us, I want to know that it's safe what I'm giving them. And I think a lot of us are also, I mean, in my case, it's the multiple vaccinations that we're questioning. The vaccinations that are given now have been changed since the 1980s. And we're just saying, can you just check that they're safe? And for some kids,
but they have not,
vaccinations
has it not
safer.
Been, I mean, when you take the MMR and the HPV, right, mm-hmm. because of the controversy surrounding both Gardasil and also the MMR vaccine and Andrew Wakefield's theories, et cetera, in The Lancet, okay? Would you not admit that these vaccines, those two in particular, have probably been independently studied thousands? I believe the MMR has been independently studied nearly, I think, up to 7,500 times at this stage. And yet they have still found no link, A, with autism in relation to the idea
I'm
of
not,
giving...
I'm not talking about autism.
Okay, that's fine.
And
the
damage.
Okay, the damage you're talking about is multiple vaccinations, which is the MMR together, rather than what Andrew Wakefield was suggesting to give them separately at some point. The idea that would be a problem for a child has been debunked so many times, and most doctors will tell you that children can take a lot more vaccines than that.
No, I see. Now I'm going to share something with you. I'm the mother of a child who died from multiple vaccination damage.
And I'm sorry to hear that your child passed away.
I feel that parents like myself are, you know, if we dare to even question and just say, hang on, let's just check this issue. Let's just look into it and maybe protect another child. Because my little girl, if she'd got whooping cough, she probably would have survived it. because she had the multiple vaccinations.
And I want to talk to you, Sam, with the greatest of sensitivity, yeah? Because I don't know what it's like. I know what it's like to lose a brother and a mother and a father, but I don't know what it's like to lose a child. So I want to talk to you with the greatest of sensitivity, and I don't want to be insulting to you whatsoever. But I do need to say to you, firstly, I'd like to ask you how your child passed away. Or how old was your child when they passed away?
She was nearly one.
Okay. And when she died, the diagnosis for her death, was it actually written down by a medical doctor that she died from multiple vaccinations?
Vaccination damage, yes.
So, and that was by a qualified doctor?
By the coroner's court, yes.
Okay. All right, that's intriguing. And I have never seen that. I've never even heard of it.
Well, because parents like myself, you know, if we dare to try and speak out about this, we're treated like we're conspiracy nuts. And I'm not. I am pro-safe vaccination. I'm vaccinated. I will vaccinate to the hilt.
And what was there an underlying condition, Sam?
Possibly, but because with any neurological issue, you can't do full genetic testing. And you know, on a child that age, you go in and get them vaccinated. You're not in there.
Okay, so there was an underlying condition as well in relation to your child. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
That we don't know that for definite. And I just think that you have to be really careful when you're on the air. And you're kind of bringing autism in and ADHD, because there are parents listening that have been through really tough situations.
Oh, yeah.
We don't want Simon Harris dictating to us. I want the right, as a, you know, I don't have any more children, but I want the right to question, make choices based on my personal circumstances.
Can I ask you a question, Sam? Do you have any more children? Or?
No, I've made the decision not to because of vaccinations.
Oh, because of vaccinations?
Yes.
So purely because, I suppose, because of the traumatic experience that you went through?
Yeah, well, I mean, because I just feel that that's a very personal question, to be honest. It's a huge dilemma for any parent that's lost a child in that situation, because we live in a world that is so pro-vaccination and so anti-asking questions of the establishment.
Well, can you understand why we live in a world that's pro-vaccination?
Yeah, because we don't want, you know, we want herd vaccination. And if that means that as part of herd vaccination, a certain number of children, you know, suffer because of it, that's okay until you're the parent of the child that's suffering. And I am pro-vaccination, but
respectively, I say to you that I because there are other people listening and I don't want to put anybody off by getting their child vaccinated.
It is
important to point out that your child did have underlying conditions as well.
Well, we don't know that.
Yeah. You said it was a possibility.
Yes, it was a possibility. It's a possibility for any child that goes into to be vaccinated.
But what I'm saying is, if it was a case that, you know, somebody like yourself had another child, would you not get them vaccinated then?
I would have single vaccinations, and I would not want Mr. Harris dictating to me where I have to do it.
So, in other words, when you say the world is pro-vaccination, I think there's very good reason why the world is pro-vaccination, because vaccinations, and I'm sure you will agree, have, sadly in your case, didn't, but have saved millions of lives.
They have, and if my little girl had single vaccinations, she would still be alive today.
Well, we don't know that, Sam, you know, with the greatest respect.
Of course we do.
Okay. Well, again, as I said to you, I will deal with your conversation with the greatest respect, and I wouldn't like to disrespect you whatsoever, because I don't know what it's like to go through what you've been through, you know, because the loss
of
a child.
I'm not calling in for your sympathy.
I'm not giving you my sympathy.
You know, I just think when we're allowing Simon Harris, who's rushed through abortion legislation that is the worst that I've ever read, and then we're going to let him try and make these, you know, dictate to us what parents should be doing. Parents who know their child's medical history inside out should have the right to choose their doctor at the right time for them and make personal decisions about their child's health. I'm not going to let Simon Harris choose that for any child, let alone, you know, such an important decision that has consequences. And I just think we're handing over yet more power to Simon Harris, and he's, you know, he's no successes to his name.
All right. Well, listen, thank you very much indeed, Sam, for that. Okay, I'm going to wrap it up in a second, but I just want to take Donald very quickly before I wrap it up. By the way, I'm actually going to have to block that WhatsApp or Ashley, because now she's just made light of something stupid. I mean, there's nothing funny about it. I don't know what's funny about you think that you have proof now. Every caller we take on the air, we take on verbatim. And, you know, in relation to Sam's call a few minutes ago, I would treat that call and anybody who had just told me that she had lost a child with the greatest sensitivity. So I'm certainly not going to start arguing with Sam on the air. All right, let me just go to Donald. Donald, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Donald?
How's it going? Just a quick, firstly, actually, sorry to Sam for her difficulties.
Absolutely, yeah. And she said she didn't go on the air for sympathy, but I understand the point she made.
And she's living every parent's worst nightmare. Mm. But just to say, I come on my way home from work. I work in the health services. And like, it's nothing to do with Simon Harris. What we do know, and what the health services do, Simon Harris is only portraying what the experts are telling him. He's not making these decisions as such. But one of the issues, and one of the primary issues we have with vaccinations, is that we need to ensure by vaccinating children now, and vaccinating them timely, that we do not allow these viruses to mutate. We do not allow them to develop or to mutate into other viruses for which the mass population is not vaccinated against. And this is how pandemics are caused, by treating viruses or bacteria, but particularly in this case, viruses, in such a way that we become complacent. It is a first world choice. We're making these choices because we haven't had suffered things like polio, meningitis, TB, and all since the 1940s, 50s and 60s. So most of us who are vaccinating our children now have no experience with this stuff. If, as I said earlier, as a researcher there, if I bring my dog to a kennel, I have to show vaccinations to that kennel before they'll actually accept my dog in, because my choices are my choices, but they should never affect somebody else. Now, I'm not making an equation back to, you know, obviously dogs and children, but what I am saying is that it's so important that we do vaccinate our children.
Mm-hmm. I would absolutely agree with it, and I am very pro-vaccination. Yeah, as Sam said to me, she said the world is, and I can absolutely understand why the world should be pro-vaccination.
Yeah, I mean, you look now, and I no doubt in the world, just to clear up one thing, there's absolutely no current research whatsoever that supports any of the theories in relation to the damage vaccination causes. None. And no credible laboratory-led or medically-led research. However, most of the clinicians I would talk to will absolutely admit that if I took a million people in front of me and I gave each one of them paracetamol, which is a fairly innocuous painkiller, I can guarantee at least one of them will have a reaction to it.
Well, if you look at the side effects on the side of paracetamol, aspirin, or any other medication for that matter, you probably never take it.
Well, exactly. As I'm saying, so there is always the possibility of having an adverse effect. However, on the greater good, and I understand it, the greater picture of everything, and I know because we're looking at children, but yet we do this on a daily basis by driving cars. We look at the risk cars, we see the amount of people that are killed as a result of traffic accidents, yet the greater benefit to society is to keep us mobile, so we continue to do it.
And can I mention something too, because it's very important I say this, because somebody just texted in and said, Niall, is it true that multi-vaccinations can cause the death of a child, right? And you know, I don't want to try to disprove Sam's personal story, and Sam says that's what she believes. She does understand that her child may have had an underlying condition. She's not obviously sure of that. But I want to read this out. This is from the World Health Organization, right? Mm. And it says, giving a child more than one vaccine at a time can increase the risk of harmful side effects, which can overload the child's immune system. And it says, false. This is what they're saying about this line that's being put out there by people who sometimes are anti-vaccination. And it says, the fact is that scientific evidence shows that giving several vaccinations at the same time has no adverse effect on the child's immune system. Children are exposed to several hundred foreign substances that trigger an immune response every single day. The simple act of eating food introduces new antigens into the body, and numerous bacteria live in the mouth and nose. A child is exposed to far more antigens from a common cold or sore throat than they are from multiple vaccines. Key advantages of having several vaccines at once is fewer clinic visits, which saves time and money, and children are more likely to complete the recommended vaccination schedule on time. Also, when it is possible to have combined vaccinations, e.g. for measles, mumps and rubella, that means fewer injections for the child. So in other words, the point I'm making is that because of the very, I mean, as we all know, these vaccines are live. They're live vaccines, so they contain
not all of them, but I'm talking about the mumps,
measles and rubella.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
They're live vaccines, so they contain a very small dose of an antibody that basically causes an illness in your body, and your body then reacts and produces an antibody for that. Eating food, or you know, sticking your hand in the dirt and putting it in your mouth, probably puts more of those bad viruses into your body than anything else.
Yeah.
So in other words, children are quite capable of taking it. The point I'm making is multi-vaccinations are not dangerous according to the World Health Organization.
No. What happens is we're exposed to pathogens, and millions of them on a daily basis, and most of them we can deal with. There are certain pathogens that when they take you a hold within the society, within the community, that we pass from one to another, that we have very little resistance to, and they're massively damaging to us. And it is those that we need to vaccinate against.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so important that we do, that we don't allow these pathogens that we know now, for example, like the measles virus. There's a classic we've all heard years ago. It came out in relation to, and it was really where the the drive, shall we say, for revaccination came in. We look at conditions like MRSA that we would have seen, say, 10 years ago, and it's still prevalent throughout the hospitals here, and we took it for granted. We didn't realise how dangerous it was. Then we're coming into conditions like VRE, CRE. Now we've developed things like CPE, which these are all different types of the hospital-bound or healthcare-provided infections.
Do you work in healthcare, by the way?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, because you seem to know an awful lot about it. I was just curious, Donald, sorry.
Yeah, and these the mad thing with these things, that what we do, what we're scared of now, or what the health service is looking at, the World Health Organization is looking at the moment worldwide, we have about 700,000 people die from hospital-borne infections. We're losing the grip on that in relation to antibiotics.
I think the biggest problem is misinformation. Like somebody just texts in and says, "Now, do you realise the MMR vaccine contains mercury?" No, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
The problem is that person believes that. So this is the misinformation. And even when it did contain mercury many years ago, the reason they took the mercury out, mercury was in as a preservative, by the way, to preserve the vaccine so they could keep it on the shelves longer. But even when it did contain mercury, there was more mercury in a tuna sandwich than there was in a vaccine. Somebody else says vaccines contain parts of dead fetal matter. Again, completely incorrect. Years and years ago, vaccines were tested on fetal matter, or not fetal matter, should I say, fetus matter, which was tissue from fetuses. It was they actually used umbilical cords, and they tested it on those skins to see how it worked and make sure it didn't react with skins. And what happens is there's a DNA sample in there from a fetus, and the DNA sample has been carried all the way through to the development of modern vaccines, and that's what people talk about. And you hear all sorts of stories like vaccines contain parts of dead babies. I mean, that's how much that gets exaggerated. So, I mean, people do exaggerate stories. Another person says, "Now, shockingly sad to listen to that woman's story. I do have the deepest amount of sympathy for her, but I personally don't understand or have never heard of a situation like that." Well, I'm not doubting Sam's story. If Sam believes that and that's what the evidence she has, well, that's the evidence she has. But I'm just telling you, because somebody did text in, and I don't want to scare people either, because somebody did text in and says, "Niall, is that true? Can children die from multivaccinations?" The answer is no. According to the World Health Organization, it is no more dangerous to give your child the MMR all at one time than it is to give them separately.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic Hit.